How'd she know what happened then? I try to swallow, but my throat's so dry it hurts. I don't know. She must have known Brooke somehow. Can't you track people's cell phones and find out if she and Brooke ever had contact? I know I'm reaching, but I can feel the walls closing in on me.
In light of this,
Greer pushes the statement toward me until it's almost falling off the table.
Take the plea deal, Reed. You'll be out by your 23rd birthday.
He tries to smile.
Think of it as a different type of post-secondary education. You can take college courses while you're inside, even get your degree. We'll do everything to make your life comfortable.
You can't even get me off on a charge I'm innocent of, I snap. How can I trust you to do anything? He reaches down and grabs his briefcase, an expression of disappointment on his face.
I'm giving you the best legal advice there is. A less scrupulous lawyer would take this to trial and bill your father for a hell of a lot more money. I'm advising you to take this plea deal because your defense is not good.
I'm telling you the truth. I've never lied to you. I clench my jaw since I can't clench my fists.
Greer gazes at me mournfully over the top of his stupid glasses. Sometimes innocent people go away for a long time. I do believe you, and I think the DA's office might too, which is why I was able to get the plea deal. Involuntary manslaughter can carry with it a 20-year sentence. 10 years is very generous. This is the very best deal.
Does my father know about this?
I nod toward the Ruby Meyer statement.
Greer readjusts the briefcase in his hand.
Yes, I gave it to him to read before you arrived.
I have to think about it.
I choke out. Delacorte's deal is off the table. There's too much evidence here. Greer adds, as if I would even entertain the Delacorte option. He already knows I won't let Daniel come back to hurt Ella.
The ground is shifting beneath my feet. I'm 18. And my once limitless world is narrowed down to the choice of 5 years in prison or rolling the dice and growing old in a tiny cement cell.
My throat is raw and I can feel embarrassing hot tears prick at the back of my eyes. I force the words out.
If I take this deal, when do I start my sentence?
Greer's shoulders sag in relief. I recommended, and the DA's office seems amenable to this, that you would start your sentence after the 1st of January. You'd be able to finish out your semester and spend the holidays with your family.
He shifts forward, his voice taking on a slight animation.
I think I can get you into a minimum security facility. Those house mostly drug offenders, some white-collar crime, a few sex offenders. It's a very mild crowd.
He smiles, as if I should be rewarding him for this great gift.
I can't wait, I mutter. I stick out my hand, remembering a few manners Mom drilled in me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We shake and he turns to leave, but he pauses at the door. I know your first instinct is to fight. It's an admirable trait, but this is the one time you need to surrender.
10 minutes later, Dad finds me in the same spot, rooted to the floor. The enormity of everything is sinking in.
Reed,
Dad says quietly. I raise my stricken eyes to him. Dad and I are about the same size. I'm a little heavier than he is because I lift a lot of weights, but I remember when I was a kid I rode on his shoulders and thought he'd always keep me safe.
What do you think I should do?
I don't want you to go to prison, but this isn't like going to Vegas and putting down even a few million at the craps table. Going to trial means we're gambling with your life.
He looks as old and as tired and as defeated as I feel.
I didn't do it.
And for the first time it's important for me to tell him that, for him to believe me.
I know. I know you never would have hurt her.
The side of his mouth quirks up.
No matter how much she might have deserved it.
Yeah. I tuck my hands in my pockets. I want to talk to Ella. Do you think Steve's going to have a problem with that? If I only have a little time left, I want to spend it with the people I care most about.
I'll make it happen.
He reaches inside his suit coat to grab his phone.
You want to talk to your brothers? You don't have to. At least not until you make your decision.
They deserve to know. But I only want to go through it once, so I'll wait until Ella comes over. We walk out into the hall, and I have a foot on the first step when a thought occurs to me.
Are you telling Steve about this mess?
I wave a hand toward the living room, where Greer just dropped a bomb on my life.
Dad shakes his head. This is royal information only.
He gives me another half smile.
That's why Ella needs to be here. Truth. I take the stairs two at a time, texting Ella when I reach the top. Dad's gonna make it so you can come over.
Really? I feel like I'm under house arrest here. Not to complain or anything, but Steve said this hotel suite was too small. I thought he was nuts, but after living here for 3 weeks, it feels like a cracker box.
I wonder how big a prison cell is. I text back.
I hear you.
My mind starts to race as I think about the plea deal. If I take it, I'll be shoved in a concrete room and kept there for 5 years. Nearly 2,000 days. Can I do it? Would I survive it? My heart starts pounding so fast I wonder if I'm going to have a heart attack. I force my fingers back to the phone.
When are you going to be let back into the penthouse?
Soon, I hope. G wants me to look for blackmail stuff. Do you think I should?
Yeah, if it's not Ov.
Damn it. I want to break Dinah and Brooke's hold over my family. Getting rid of this murder charge is a step toward that. I could fight, but what's the point? Greer says my case is hopeless. I don't want to drag my family through a trial. I don't want a parade of witnesses up there talking about Easton's struggles with gambling, drinking, and drugs, the twins' private life, distorted stories about Gideon and Dinah, me and Brooke and Dad. And then there's Ella's past. She doesn't need to be dragged through the mud again. Our family has already gone through so much. The prosecutors will rake up the details of Mom's death if I go to trial. Everything we fought so hard to keep behind these closed doors would come spilling out. I have the ability to stop that from happening. The price of tucking those secrets away is a slice of my freedom. And it isn't long. 5 years. Five, if you're lucky. I can live through that. It's just a fraction of my entire life. What's that worth against the trauma that the trial would inflict on my family?
Nothing.
Yeah. I've made up my mind. This is the right decision. I know it is. Now I just have to sell it to Ella and my brothers. Ella shows up an hour later. When she breezes through the front door, my heart feels immediately lighter. I barely have time to brace myself before she throws herself at me. After planting a long, dick-raising kiss on my lips, she wriggles out of my arms.
Gosh, you feel like a block of ice.
She pinches my bare arm.
Put some clothes on.
Thought you liked it when I was naked. I counter, forcing a light note into my voice. I think you once said it was a crime for me to wear shirts. She wrinkles her nose, but doesn't deny it.
What do you think Callum said to Steve? Steve told me I could come right over and he didn't even make a fuss. Maybe he's coming around?
She's smiling so brightly, thinking I have good news for her. I don't want to tell her, but I have no choice. This is her future, too. Come on. I grab her hand and tug her up the stairs. Let's go to your room. I march down to my brother's rooms. Knocking on their doors, I yell, Ella's here. My brothers pop out of the rooms immediately.
Little sis.
Pangs of jealousy curl in my stomach as I watch Easton wrap Ella up in a big hug before passing her off to Sawyer and Seb. But the closeness they all share with her is a good thing, especially for East. I turn my back and walk into Ella's room, forcing myself to quash my negative feelings. They'll need each other after I'm gone. I can't be angry about this. I'm the one who put myself in this situation when I decided to sleep with Brooke. And then I made stupid decision after stupid decision. The what-if game will probably drive me insane in prison. What if I'd flown to D.C. for dinner with my family? What if I hadn't answered Brooke's call? What if I hadn't gone over there, thinking I could reason with Brooke? It was my own damn pride that got me into this. I wait for everyone to walk in before I start. I wanted to give you guys an update on the case. My brothers perk up. I know they're starving for details. But Ella, she's frowning deeply at me.
Is this about...
She trails off, glancing at my brothers and back at me. She's obviously not sure if I've told them about the plea offer yet. I nod. Yeah, and there's another new development. Slowly I go through the statements that I've read so many times I can recite them by heart. I offer only the highlights and leave out the stuff about Easton and the twins' relationship with Lauren and focus on the crap the police have compiled against me, finishing with the statement from Ruby Myers. Ella grows paler and paler with each passing minute.
That's an incredible amount of bullshit,
East declares once I'm done.
If Brooke was still alive, I'd kill her myself,
Ella mutters darkly.
Don't say that, I chide.
We should fill out our own statements, she suggests.
Yeah, East nods.
because that shit with that waitress never happened. Seb and Sawyer join the chorus, swearing that they'll testify too. I realize I have to put a stop to this before their bedroom lawyering gets out of hand. I'm going to take a plea deal, I announce. Easton's jaw drops.
What the fuck?
He and the twins stare at me as if I've gone crazy, but I can't take my eyes off Ella, whose face is full of fear.
You can't, she protests. What about the Delacorte deal?
East perks up.
What's that?
Ella starts talking before I can shut the idea down. Judge Delacorte offered to lose evidence if Daniel gets to come back from juvie military jail and if I agree to say I lied about the drugging. She crosses her arms.
I say we do that.
Yeah, Seb agrees. Sawyer nods excitedly. Not happening, ever. I glare at my brothers until they turn their hopeful expressions to the floor. Ella holds up her hands, mimicking the scales of justice.
You going to prison for 25 years or me living with Daniel?
Her left hand drops down and her eyes burn angrily at me.
Take the Delacorte deal.
Even if I was remotely okay with that, which I'm not, there's too much evidence to get rid of. There is no Delacorte deal anymore, I say through clenched teeth. They have no one else to pin this on. Greer says they have me on means, motive, and opportunity, which is all they need to convict me of a crime.
You're not pleading guilty, Reed.
Her tone is harder than steel. I swallow hard. Then I lock my gaze to hers and say, yes, I am.
Chapter 27 Ella. My emotions are all mixed up right now. I hate Reed for thinking I'd ever be okay with his stupid plea deal, but I love him for wanting to make this whole mess go away. I know that's why he's not fighting this. He's decided that he needs to save his family from a stain on their reputation. I get it, but I hate it. For the record, I'm not on board with this plan, Easton tells the room. Same, the twins say in unison. Reed nods at them. Noted, but it's happening whether you like it or not. Bitterness jams in my throat. Well, I guess that's the royal decree, and to hell with what anyone else thinks about it, right? A soft tap on the doorframe has our heads turning.
Everything okay in here?
Callum asks, his tone oddly gentle. Nobody says a word. He sighs.
I assume Reed's told you about the deal.
Easton frowns at his father.
And you're cool with it? No, but it's your brother's decision. I'm going to support him no matter what.
Callum's stern eyes imply that we should all be doing the same thing, supporting Reed. Can I have a moment alone with Reed? I ask tightly. At first, nobody moves, but then they notice the look on my face, and whatever they see spurs them into action.
Come on, boys. Let's go down to the kitchen and rummage up some dinner,
Callum tells his sons. Before he leaves the room, he glances my way.
Oh, and Ella, I've already arranged it with Steve that you can spend the night here. I'm sending Durand over to your hotel to pick up your uniform.
Steve was okay with that? I say in surprise.
I didn't give him much of a choice.
With a wry smile, Callum ducks out of the room and closes the door behind him. Once I'm alone with Reed, it's impossible to contain my anger anymore.
This is crazy. You didn't kill her. Why would you ever, ever, ever say you did?
He slowly sits down beside me.
This is the best option, baby. 5 years in prison isn't the end of the world, but the alternative, going to prison for the rest of my life, that is the end of the world. I can't take that chance.
But you're innocent. You can go to trial and...
lose. He finishes flatly. I'll lose.
You don't know that.
The statement from Ruby Myers is too damaging. She's going to tell a jury that I threatened to kill Brooke.
He sounds frustrated.
I don't know why that woman is lying about me, but her testimony will put me away.
Then let's prove she's lying, I say desperately.
How?
His voice is low, defeated.
She signed an affidavit.
Reed takes my hand and squeezes it tight.
This is happening, Ella. I'm taking the deal.
I know you don't like it, but I really need you to support me on this.
Never.
Out loud, I only manage a weak croak. I don't want to lose you.
You won't. It's only 5 years. It'll fly by. Just watch.
He hesitates suddenly, raking one hand through his dark hair.
Unless.
I narrow my eyes. Unless what?
Unless you've changed your mind about waiting for me.
He says sadly. I gape at him now. Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't blame you.
His fingers tighten through mine.
And I don't expect you to, either.
If you want to break up, I'd totally understand. I cut him off with a kiss. A furious, incredulous kiss. I'm not breaking up with you, I hiss angrily.
So erase that thought from your stupid head, Reed Royal.
Rather than answer, he yanks me toward him again, his mouth locking with mine. His broad body pushes me onto the bed as he kisses me so deeply that it sucks all the breath from my lungs. His hands are down my pants. Mine are busy tugging at his shirt. His lips break away from mine for the second that it takes to pull his t-shirt over his head. Then that mouth is back on mine. His hand reaches between my legs. I rock my lower body against the hard, hot length of him. We sink into the mattress, his body pressing against me. My shirt comes off. A thigh nudges its way between my legs as his mouth finds my breasts, lavishing attention on the aching tips. A light tug of his teeth has me arching off the bed and crying his name. Reed, please. He licks lower, taking away that exquisite pressure to give a different kind of kiss, one that drives me mad with need until I'm splintering into a thousand different pieces. Then he surges to his knees and grabs a condom from the nightstand. In my dazed state, I hadn't even been thinking about that, but he is. Reed's not the destroyer. He's never destroyed anything in his life. He's always been the protector, even at this moment, when he battles his own lust for control. I reach between us and guide him between my legs. The broad head pierces my body, but there's no pain this time. Sweat dots his brow as his body shakes with the effort to let me set the pace. Slowly, tenderly, desperately, he pushes into me over and over until the friction builds into a bomb of pleasure that explodes once again. Afterward, he buries his head in my neck.
I love you, baby. I love you so damn much.
I love you, too. I'm glad he's not looking at me, because I can't stop the tears from filling my eyes. I clutch him to me, wrapping myself around him as if I can keep him there, safe with me forever. He wakes me up twice more during the night to tell me with his mouth and hands and body how much he loves me, how desperately he needs me, how he can't live without me. I say the same things right back, until we're both too exhausted to keep our eyes open. But I don't know if either of us believes anything we're saying at this point. We're just a tangle of wild, hopeless emotions, trying to find peace with our bodies. No matter how hard we try to forget, we can't. Because Reed's going to prison, and it feels like death. In the morning, Reed and Easton take me to school. I run through dance practice listlessly, because most of my attention is pinned on the other side of the gym, where the football players are lifting weights. I stare at Reed's back, until Jordan finally snaps at me.
I know your felon boyfriend is over there, but can you try to keep your attention on the team for one measly second?
Why am I even here? I snap back. Layla isn't injured anymore.
I point to the senior who's taping her ankle.
Jordan purses her lips and places her hands on her tiny waist.
Because you agreed to join the team, not hang out for a weekend on an away game.
I don't give two shits about your team.
A group of girls behind me gasp, and I instantly regret losing my temper. Truth is, I do care about the team. It might have started off as a deal with Satan, but I loved every second of performing at the away game. I'm even willing to put up with Jordan if it means getting to do what I love the most. But it's too late. My outburst causes Jordan's eyes to blaze.
Then get out, she orders, jerking her arm in the direction of the locker rooms. You're officially off the team. Fine by me.
The lie burns my throat on the way out, but there's no way I'm letting Jordan see how devastated I am. So I just pick up my water bottle and march across the gym. Only when I enter the locker room do I allow my emotions to surface. Tears sting my eyes. I want to punch myself for lashing out at Jordan. She deserves a good lashing, usually, but not when it comes to the dance team. She's actually not a bad captain, and from what I've seen, she only ever does what's best for the team. Yelling at her was such a mistake. Now there's no way she'll let me come back. Reed catches me at my locker before class, his heated gaze searching my face.
What was that all about at practice? Jordan say something to you.
He's all worked up, ready to defend me. I give his biceps a weak pat of assurance. No, it was all me, I admit. I snapped at her, and she kicked me off the team. Reed sighs.
Aw, baby, I'm sorry.
Whatever, I lie again. It's no biggie. It was just supposed to be a one-time thing anyway. I grab my books and slam the locker shut.
All right, then.
He slides a hand under my hair until his fingers curl around my neck.
See you at lunch.
Yep, I'll save you a seat. Or we can share one. I'll just sit on your lap. Reed's response is to bend down and kiss me so thoroughly that I forget my spat with Jordan, that we're not supposed to have any physical contact at school, and my worries about the future. I might even forget my own name for a few seconds. When he finally lifts his mouth from mine, I'm glassy-eyed and shaken. Then I realize that the bells ringing in my head are the school alerts. Classes are about to start.
You look gorgeous right now.
He leans forward and whispers in my ear.
I hear conjugal visits are real hot.
Immediately my gooey mood hardens to displeasure.
Don't say stuff like that.
His expression goes serious.
I'm sorry, but
you should be.
If I can't joke about it, then I'm probably gonna cry about it, and that's not an option.
He looks so miserable that I feel bad for snapping at him. God, I'm just losing my cool all over the place this morning. But I refuse to accept that Reed is going to prison. I can't let that happen. I can't. Since I no longer have dance practice after school, I'm free to pursue what I call Operation Justice. I bring Val along, not just because I need the backup, but because I'm hoping if we're trapped in a car together, she'll finally tell me what's going on with her and Wade. I know they met up to talk, but she hasn't given me any details about it. So, how was the talk with Wade? I demand as I drive out of the school lot. Fascinating. Her tone is off. I tilt my head and study her. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic. I am. And I'm not. She sighs. He said all the right things, but I don't know if...
If you believe him, I finish.
Yeah. Or if I'm willing to even go there with him, like, to the relationship zone.
Is it because you're not over Tam yet?
No, I think I'm over Tam. I'm just not sure I'm ready to be under Wade. We both snort. Do you want me to stop asking about it? Because I'll shut up. But if you want to talk, I'm here.
Thinking about Val's problems is kind of a relief from my own.
No, I don't want you to stop asking about it. I just don't think Wade and I are in the right headspace for each other. He's fun and all, but he's all about fun. I can't get anywhere with him. She gives me a slight smile, this time actually looking at me, so I can see her bemused expression. I think Wade has hidden depths, but maybe is afraid to show them, I suggest.
Maybe. She sounds dubious.
Are you going to winter formal with him? Reed said he asked you.
She grimaces.
No, I'm staying home. I hate winter formal.
Is it that bad? Everyone at Astor acts like it's the best thing ever.
This is the South. Anytime you can get dressed up and parade around, it's going to be celebrated.
But not by you.
Nope. I hate that stuff.
Is Steve letting you go with Reed?
I doubt it. I haven't talked to him about it, but I don't think he'll be on board with it at all. Besides, I don't even have a dress. You never told me I'd need one for this.
We share a grin.
When we first met, Val told me I needed dresses for every event, from weddings to funerals, but not a dress for a school dance.
You'll need to get on that, she says.
Is all the enthusiasm I can muster up.
Dancing, dresses, and parties hold no interest for me right now. Not until I find evidence to get Reed out of this mess. I am not going to let an innocent guy go to prison. The rest of the royals might be down for that, but not me.
10 minutes later, I pull up at the curb in front of a low-rise building in the city. I kill the engine and glance at Val.
Ready?
Remind me why we're here again.
I need to talk to someone.
And you can't call them?
I don't think she'll answer my calls, I admit, shifting my attention out the window.
All of the statements Reed told us about are essentially true, or some variation of the truth. But Reed insists that this one isn't. Plus, none of us ever remember seeing this server upstairs. So I decided to seek her out. I want her to tell this lie to my face.
This place looks sketchy, Val observes, leaning across the console to look out my window at the sprawling apartment complex.
She's right. All the buildings look tired and worn. The cement sidewalk is cracked and buckling. Weeds creep up the chain-link fencing that encloses the parking lot in the center of the buildings. But I've lived in far worse conditions than this.
Do you think I should knock on the door or wait for her to come out? I ask.
Do you know what she looks like?
Yeah, she was part of the catering staff that came to the house once. I'd recognize her if I saw her.
Then let's wait. If she's not going to answer the phone, I can't see her opening the door to you.
Good point. I tap my fingers against the wheel impatiently.
You ever think Reed did it? Val says quietly after a few minutes.
Yeah, I think about that.
All the time.
And?
I don't care. And then, because I want Val to be clear on this, I abandon my stakeout for a second. I don't think he did it, but if it was an accident and they got in a fight where she fell and hit her head, then I don't see why Reed should be punished for that. Maybe that makes me a terrible person, but I'm Team Reed.
Val smiles and reaches out to cover my hand with hers.
For the record, I'm Team Reed, too.
Thank you.
I squeeze her hand and turn back to the window, in time to see the door to apartment 5B swing open.
There she is.
I scramble out of the car, nearly taking a header on the pavement in my haste.
Ms. Myers, I call out.
The petite, dark-haired woman stops just inside the fence.
Yeah?
I'm Ella Harper.
To my relief, her face registers no recognition. I straighten my blazer, one that I ruined by ripping the Astor Park badge off, in hopes that it makes me look like a journalist.
I'm a reporter for the Bayview News. Do you have a minute?
Immediately, a shield falls over her face.
No, I'm busy.
She turns away, but I yell her name sharply. Ruby Myers, I'd like to ask you a few questions about the statement you gave in the Davidson murder. I can only see the side of her face, but it's pale and stricken. Suspicion spikes through me.
I got nothing to say, she stutters, then puts her head down and rushes to a vehicle parked 3 spaces away.
I can only watch as she climbs in and speeds out of the parking lot.
Did you see that? Val demands.
I turn to find her at my elbow. What, that I suck as an investigator? I want to stomp my foot on the ground like a spoiled kid. I couldn't even get one answer out of her.
No. Did you see what she was driving? God, not you too. Reed was hassling me about not knowing the difference between a truck and a car. It was an SUV? That's a Lincoln Navigator, and it runs about 60 grand. This one still has the showroom shine. It's so new. You said she was a catering waitress, right? You're telling me she just found a bunch of money? You think someone paid her to lie about Reed? Maybe. I think it over for a beat, then hiss out a breath. There's only one person who really has anything to gain by pinning this on Reed. Who? I lock eyes with Val. My stepmother. Chapter 28. Ella. After I drop Val off at home, I immediately speed back to the hotel. It takes me all of 2 seconds to find Dinah. She's lounging on the sofa when I storm in, her eyes glazed and her hair slightly mussed up. Where's Steve? I demand, glancing around. If I'm going to confront Dinah about possibly paying off Ruby Myers, then I don't want an audience. Steve will just antagonize her, and then she'll clam up. Dinah lifts one shoulder, her barely there nightgown sliding halfway down her slender arm. Who knows? Probably buying a 16-year-old hooker down at the wharf. He likes them young, you know. I'm surprised he hasn't crawled into your bed yet. Disgust fills my throat. Do you do anything but sit on your ass all day? Why, yes. I shop. I go to the gym. Sometimes I fuck your stepbrother Gideon. She laughs drunkenly. I loom over the couch, my arms crossed, but a part of me is hesitating. My plan was to come out and confront her about Myers, but I don't know how to start. How would she have paid Myers off? Cash, right? I wonder if Steve would let me look at their bank withdrawals, or does she carry around a bunch of cash? Instead of accusing her right off the bat, I decide to use a different approach. Drunk people have lower inhibitions. Maybe I can squeeze some information out of her without her knowing I'm even doing it. So I sit on the opposite end of the couch and wait for her to keep talking. How was dance practice? You don't look very sweaty. I shrug. That's because I quit. Ha! She exclaims way too loudly. She points a shaky finger in my direction. I told Steve that you joined just so you could sleep with your boyfriend. I give another shrug. What do you care what I do with Reed? I don't. I just enjoy making the royals miserable. Your unhappiness is a little extra something special. Nice, I say sarcastically. Nice gets you nowhere, she snarls. But then her whole face crumples, and for the first time since I walked in, I notice that besides smelling like a brewery, her eyes are rimmed with red. Are you okay? I ask uneasily. No, I'm not okay, Dinah snaps, except this time her voice shakes a little. I miss Brooke. I really miss her. Why did she have to be so greedy and stupid? I swallow my shock. I can't believe she's the one who's bringing it up. Okay, this is perfect. I sneak a hand into my pocket and fiddle with my phone. Do I have a recording app? Can I get Dinah to say something incriminating? What do you mean? Dinah's eyes take on a faraway glimmer. She said you were like us. Are you? No, I blurt out, and immediately regret it. Damn it, I should have said yes. But Dinah seems too lost in her own world to notice my disagreement. You need to be careful of those royals. They'll take you in and then stab you in the back. I watch my words this time. How so? It happened to me. Was this before or after you slept with Gideon? Before or after you decided to take down the royals? How? I ask instead. She fiddles with one of the heavy rocks on her fingers. I knew Maria Royal. She was the queen in Bayview. Everyone loved her, but no one saw how sad she was. I did, though. I frown. Where is she going with this? I told her I knew where she'd come from, and how lonely it could be when you weren't born into these circles. I was being friendly, Dinah mutters. But did she appreciate that? No. No, she certainly did not. Dinah slams a hand on the coffee table, and I flinch in surprise. The royals are like the apple in the fairy tale, golden on the outside, but rotten to the core. Maria didn't come from money. She was poor trash from the wharf who opened her legs at the right time to the right man, Callum Royal. Once she was pregnant, he had to marry her. But Maria wasn't satisfied with Callum's devotion. She always wanted more, and woe to any woman who stood in her way of total domination over the males in her circle. She was a manipulative bitch who enjoyed playing both sides of the table. To the women, she was spiteful and cruel, running others down constantly. To the men, she was nothing but sweet words and compliments. Wow, this is a side of Maria Royal I'd never heard about. Reed said his brothers remember her as a saint. But then the comments Steve made when he dragged me out of school pop up in my head. No living person is a saint. On the other hand, Dinah isn't exactly the most trustworthy person, and she probably paid someone off to send Reed to jail. I'd be stupid to believe anything she says. Besides, even if Maria was a bitch, Dinah's obsession with the royals still doesn't make sense. You and Brooke had it in for the royals and Steve because Maria Royal was rude to you at one time? I ask in disbelief. She sighs heavily. No, honey. Maria Royal represents every other rich bitch around here. You've encountered these types at school. They're the kind who believe their own shit doesn't stink. Like Jordan Carrington. I guess in some ways Dinah's lecture isn't completely crazy. Except the difference between us is that I don't give a crap about Jordan, while Dinah obviously cared a lot about Maria's opinion. And the one time I tried to reach out to her, she slapped me down, called me a whore, and said I was nothing like her. I'm sorry. It doesn't come out sincere enough, because Dinah starts to cry. Big, fat tears roll down her face as she sobs. No, you're not. You don't get it. You still think the royals are wonderful. The only person who understood was Brooke, and she's gone. She's gone. It's the perfect opening, so I take it. Did you kill Brooke because she was trying to horn in on your piece of the pie? No, damn you, I didn't kill her. Anger drips from Dinah's tone. Your precious Reed did. He did not, I answer between clenched teeth. Keep telling yourself that, sweetie. I face her mocking gaze head on. Did you pay Ruby Myers to say that Reed threatened to kill Brooke? Did you? Dinah smiles. A cold, humorless smile. And what if I did? How will you prove it? Her financial records. Callum's investigators will find out the truth. Will they? She releases a short, angry laugh, her hand snaking out to grab my chin. The royal resources won't buy Reed's freedom. I'm going to do whatever it takes to see that piece of murderous shit in prison, even if it's the last thing I do. I slap her hand away and jump off the couch. You're not going to pin this on Reed, I spit out. I'm going to prove that you paid off Ruby Myers, and maybe I'll even prove that you killed Brooke. Go ahead, princess. You're not going to find anything on me. She tosses back her booze and then refills her glass. Sick of her smug, awful face, I hurry off to my room and slam the door. The moment I'm calm enough to hold my phone without dropping it, I call Reed. What's up? He asks. I went to Ruby Myers' house and... What? He yells so loud that I have to pull the phone away from my ear. Are you kidding me? What are you trying to do, get yourself killed? You and I both know her statement is a lie, I shoot back. Then, lowering my voice to a whisper, I say, Dinah is up to her ears in this. She virtually admitted to buying Myers off.
Ella, damn it, stay out of this. Dad has investigators crawling all over this case, and we haven't been able to turn up new information. If Dinah's involved, then you poking a hornet's nest is only going to get you hurt. I can't have you hurt.
I can't just sit around. I stomp over to the window and yank the curtains open. Housekeeping always shuts them for some stupid reason. Reed sighs.
Look, I know it's tough for you, but you just gotta accept that this is the right thing for all of us. If I accept the plea deal, it goes away. Instead of a year of uncertainty and then a few more years of appeals with all our dirty laundry parading across the front page, we get it over and done with.
More quietly, he adds, it's not gonna last that long. Tears well up in my eyes. It's not right, and I don't want you gone for even a day.
I know, baby.
But does he? There's aloofness in his voice, as if he's already putting distance between us. A little desperately, I say, I love you.
I love you too.
His voice is rough and low and gravelly.
Let's not fight. Let's try to put this aside and enjoy the time that I'm still here. Before you know it, I'll be back.
He pauses.
It's going to be okay.
But I just don't believe him. The next day, I try to act as if nothing awful is happening in our lives. As if Reed didn't just announce he's going to prison for a minimum of 5 years. As if my heart isn't breaking every time I look at him. He's right in one sense. If we spend the next 5 weeks or so dwelling on the horrible future, he might as well start his sentence today. So I go through the motions at school, acting like nothing's wrong. But by the time the final bell rings, I'm exhausted from all that pretending and more than ready to go home. I'm halfway across the parking lot when a sharp voice calls my name. Instantly, I go stiffer than a board. Great. Jordan.
We need to talk,
she says, from about 10 yards away. I try to get the car door open, but Jordan's at my side before I can escape. I turn around with a sigh.
What do you want?
An evil gleam lights her gaze.
I'm calling in the favor.
Every muscle in my body coils tight. Crap. I was really, really hoping she'd forget all about that. But I should have known better than to think that Jordan Carrington forgets anything, especially when it's to her advantage.
All right. I fake a smile. So who am I duct taping to the school doors?
She rolls her eyes.
Like I'd get an amateur to do my dirty work.
With a wave of her manicured hand, she says,
I think you're going to like this favor, actually. It requires almost little effort on your part.
Suspicion trickles down my spine.
What do you want? I repeat.
Jordan gives me a big, broad smile.
Reed Royal.
Chapter 29. Ella. It takes a few seconds for Jordan's words to sink in. Once they do, I can't stop a loud burst of laughter.
She wants Reed?
Yeah, not happening, bitch. I'm not sure what that even means, but either way, Reed's not on the table, I say cheerfully. So you should probably come up with something else.
She cocks a brow. It's this or nothing.
I grin. Then I pick nothing. Jordan laughs at that. Or maybe she's just laughing at me.
Sorry, did I say nothing? I meant, if you don't uphold your end of the bargain, then nothing is what your social life will be. As in, I'll tell your father all about how you lied to him about the dance team so you could bang your boyfriend at a hotel. I'm pretty sure you'll be grounded for life after he finds out.
She bats her eyelashes.
Or maybe he'll pick up and move you to another state. Actually, maybe I'll recommend that to him. I'll even give him some brochures for really good prep schools upstate.
Damn her. That's totally something Steve would do, force me to transfer schools. If he finds out I lied about the away game and spent the night with Reed, he'll lose his shit.
So, she says, her smile returning, Should I tell you the details?
What do you want with Reed? I ask through clenched teeth.
I want him to take me to winter formal.
My jaw falls open. Is she freaking serious?
Jordan rolls her eyes at my shock.
What? It's not like you can go with him, unless your dad is suddenly on board with you dating a killer.
I stare at her. What happened to your whole speech about you not wanting to be with a killer?
She shrugs.
I changed my mind.
Yeah? And why's that?
I mutter. Because Reed's star has never shone brighter.
She flips her dark, glossy hair over one shoulder.
When he was first arrested, his social status plummeted. But now, he's all these pathetic chicks can talk about. Unlike your trashy ass, the social hierarchy matters to me.
She shrugs again.
I want to go to the formal with Reed. That's the favor.
A disbelieving laugh pops out. I'm not lending you my boyfriend for a night. Frustration darkens her eyes.
He's a trophy, dumbass. Don't you get that?
Reed's not a trophy, I want to shout. He's a human being. He's smart and gorgeous and sweet when he allows himself to drop his tough guy act. And he's mine. This girl is insane if she thinks I'm going to say yes to this.
Jordan sighs when she sees my immovable expression. I'll tell you what. How about I throw in a spot on the dance team?
What the hell does that mean?
It means I'm letting you rejoin the team, she answers in exasperation. God, are you fucking dense? We both know you didn't want to quit. You were just being a bitch for no reason, so you can come back if you want.
I falter. I did really enjoy my time on that stupid team.
And I won't ever ask for another favor, she says with an overly bright smile. All I want is Reed on my arm at winter formal.
That's all she wants? Gee, she's asking for so little, not. I plant my hands on my hips. And then what?
What do you mean?
What happens after the dance? Do you think he's going to be your boyfriend or something? Because he won't.
Jordan snorts. Who wants a boyfriend who's going to be in jail for the rest of his life? I want Snowflake Queen. That's it.
Snowflake Queen? I echo blankly.
Everyone at Winter Formal votes for a king and queen, like homecoming.
She flips her hair over her shoulder.
I want to be queen.
Of course she does.
I mean, I'm already a lock for it, but going with Reed will seal the deal. A bunch of people are talking about voting for him because they feel sorry for him.
Astro prep kids are weird as hell. I study her face. If I agree to this, we'll be even.
Even Steven,
she chirps. Swallowing my irritation, I fling open the car door and flop onto the driver's seat.
Well?
Jordan hovers at the side of the convertible, her expression expectant. I'll think about it, I spit out.
Then I start the engine so I can drown out the sound of her laughter.
Reed. When I get home from practice, I find Ella curled up on her bed, wearing what looks like a pair of my old sweatpants and a tiny, tiny tank top. I'm surprised to see her. Steve, know you're here? I ask warily. She nods. I told him I needed to study for a chem test with Easton. Her chemistry book is beside her, but Easton is nowhere to be found. I grin. Do you actually need to study, or was that an excuse? No, I really do have to study, she answers glumly. But we both know your dumb brother isn't going to help me. I figured if I studied here, at least I could see you. Steve's downstairs, though, so we need to be quiet. I walk over to the bed to give her a quick kiss. Let me change into sweats, and then I'll help you. I took chem last year, so I remember all the work. Before I can duck into the bathroom, she sits up and says, Wait, I need to tell you something. My gaze sweeps over her barely there tank top. Knowing I'm only going to have a few more weeks with Ella makes the fire burn hotter every time I lay eyes on her. Can you tell me while your shirt is off? She grins. No. Fine, be that way. I hop up on the bed and roll onto my back, folding my fingers across my abdomen. What is it? She clears her throat. You need to take Jordan to winter formal. I bolt upright. Are you nuts? I stare at her in astonishment. I didn't know we were even going. I thought we'd do something else, just the two of us.
I freaking hate winter formal. I thought everyone went. Ella tosses her phone toward me. See? I pick it up and see Astor Park's Instagram feed, which is full of pictures of the winter formal preparations. The school is obsessed with this dance, and I've been grateful for that because it's taken some of the heat off of Ella and my brothers over my case. The girls go because it's the social event of the semester. The guys go so that they can get laid afterward, I say bluntly. Nice. Well, you don't have to sleep with Jordan after the dance. The bargain was for you to take her to the party and nothing else.
Bargain?
I'm losing my train of thought because Ella's shirt is riding up and I can see a sliver of skin above her waist. For me being on the dance team and going to the away game. I swallow a groan. So this is what you promised her? That I'd take her to winter formal? No, it was just a debt to be called in later.
Why does she want to go with me? I thought she hated me.
I don't think she hates you. I think it's some kind of weird notoriety thing. You go with her and she gets to parade you around like a dog on her leash. The Beauty and the Beast sort of thing.
She's the Beast, right?
Ella responds by tweaking one of my nipples. Which hurts, damn it. Oh, and she wants to be crowned Snowflake Queen or some shit? Ella adds. She thinks going with you will up her chances. I grab her fingers and drag them to my mouth. I don't want to go to a dance with Jordan. If I go, you're holding the leash.
I'm not a leash holder.
I place her hand at the base of my neck.
I belong to you. Everyone at Astor knows that.
She turns an adorable shade of pink.
I belong to you too, but I made a deal.
Why are you even paying off this debt? No one's holding you to it. Her fingers trace my collarbone, sending a buzzing sensation down my spine.
Because a deal's a deal. I always keep my word.
Deals with the devil don't count. If you don't do it, then she's going to tell Steve I lied about the away game. Ella admits, pulling her hand away. And she said she'll try to convince him to send me to another school, maybe even out of state. The school thing I could handle, especially since I won't even be around after January. But another state? No way. That means Ella wouldn't be able to visit me. Plus, my brothers need her, and she needs them. This is her family. She doesn't deserve to be separated from them.
Still, I can totally see Steve doing something drastic like that.
Ever since my dad told him about the plea deal, Steve's been better about letting Ella spend time here, but he doesn't want us dating. He's made that more than clear. If he finds out I took her virginity at the away game, he'll freaking kill me. Ella sits up and swings a leg over my waist.
You have to do it, Reed. Please.
One thing I've learned about Ella is that if she sets her mind to something, there's no moving her. She's that stubborn. She's going to fulfill her end of the deal with Jordan no matter what the cost, and this cost isn't that terrible, I guess. I grab her hips and hold her still. Are there any details to this deal? What does she expect from me? Ella picks up her phone and checks her text messages.
She said you have to wear something. Can't remember what it is.
Did you already agree to this before you even asked me? I demand.
No, I swear. I just told her I'm okay with it if you are.
Ella's hands drop to my chest. Her hips start moving. My eyes flutter shut, but I hear myself respond. We always wear tuxes. What the hell else would she want me to wear? Another thought pops into my head. I snap my eyes open.
Are you planning to go too, or are you leaving me at Jordan's mercy?
Oh, I'd never abandon you like that. I thought I'd go with Wade. Val's not going, so I can keep an eye on him. Oh, hell no. I don't like this plan at all. Wade can't keep his dick in his pants. I growl.
I know. Why do you think Val's not going?
So I'm supposed to go with the She-Demon, and you're going to hang out with a guy whose mission is to bang every available chick along the Atlantic coast?
Give your friend more credit, Ella chides.
Wade knows better than to hit on me.
He better, I say sullenly.
She leans down to kiss me, but pulls back before I can slip her some tongue.
So you'll do it?
Yeah, I'll do it, I grumble. Even though I still can't believe you'd be okay with me going to a dance with Jordan.
Hey, at least it's not with Abby,
she grumbles back. I can handle you going with Jordan because I know you hate her, but Abby would bother me a lot.
Because she's my ex?
Because she's your ex.
But she's my ex, meaning I no longer want to go out with her, haven't wanted to go out with her for a long time, and do not intend to go out with her in the future. That kind of ex.
Ella makes a growly sound.
She better stay that way.
A chuckle escapes.
I like jealous Ella.
Something else occurs to me. Winter formal is in 2 days, and this is the first time Ella's even brought it up.
Do you have a dress? Can I buy one at the mall?
Oh, babe. You still haven't learned, huh? I lift her off my aching dick and set her on the side of the bed. I stalk over to the dresser and fish out a sweatshirt for her. Put this on. We'll talk to my dad.
Right now? The stores are all closed.
She stands there without moving, so I shove the sweatshirt over her head. Winter formal is like a prom on steroids. These chicks spend more money on their dresses than some folks spend on a car. I shove her arms into the sleeves and roll them up. I don't want you to have a hard time that night. Jeez, Val was right. You guys really do have a special dress for everything. Where should I get the dress, then, if not the mall? You know, where many, many dresses are on sale? I don't know where you buy it, but Dad probably will. Downstairs, we find Dad and Steve in the study. The two men are bent over some papers that look like a flight plan. Got a minute? I ask, knocking on the door. Steve glowers at the sight of Ella in my clothes. Nothing happened, I feel compelled to mutter. We were talking about winter formal, and Ella said she doesn't have a dress. So, the two of you are attending winter formal together? Dad asks, peering over the papers at the two of us. Like hell they are, Steve says stiffly. Ella glowers at her father. We're not going together. Reed's taking Jordan Carrington, and I'm going with Wade. Steve instantly relaxes. All right. I hide my displeasure at his obvious relief. Anyway, Ella needs a dress, I mutter. Is this really a big deal? She says in irritation. I've got dresses. I don't know, Dad says slowly. But I chaperoned the formal a few years back, and I remember seeing a lot of designer dresses. If Reed is telling me you need a dress, then I suppose you do. He rubs his chin and then turns to Steve. You dated that one woman, Peggy. Perry Mendez? Steve supplies. Yes, she owned the Bayview Boutique. She still does. I saw her at the Chamber of Commerce dinner a few weeks ago. Let's see if she can make something happen. Dad gestures for Ella to come to the desk. Sit down and look at Perry's website. Find a dress you like, and we'll get it for you. Ella takes a seat. What am I looking for? As fancy as you can find, I recommend. This is pageant country. She clicks through a series of photos, then stops on a page. I like this one. I can't see which one she's talking about because her hand is blocking the screen. Save the picture and I'll send it to Perry, Dad tells her. Thanks. Told you Dad would handle it, I say with a grin. She rises from the chair and the two of us edge back toward the door, only to halt when Steve's sharp voice pierces the air. Where are you two going? Just up to my room. Don't worry, Easton is already there, Ella says, her feet already across the threshold. Steve frowns. Keep the door open. Your new boyfriend wouldn't like it if he knew you were hanging around Reed so much. Dad gets a frustrated look on his face while I glance at Ella in confusion. New boyfriend? What in the world is she telling Steve? Ella drags me upstairs, explaining as we go. Steve thinks Wade is my new boyfriend because he took me out on the fake date, and I guess now that we're going to the dance together, we're an official couple. You're not a couple, I remind her. Duh. Once we're alone, I waste no time ridding her of her sweatshirt and kissing her, reminding her with my mouth exactly who she's going out with. We didn't leave the door open, she murmurs. I know, I say into her breasts. Want me to stop? Hell no. We get about 5 minutes of fooling around before Easton bursts in. I didn't interrupt anything, did I? He asks, completely unrepentant. I heard I'm watching television with you. Ella throws a pillow at his face but moves over to make room for him. I flick the TV remote. As the screen flickers on, my girl tucks herself under my arm. I don't have much time before I go to prison. Spending even one night with Jordan isn't how I want to use that precious time, but I'll have to suck it up for Ella's sake. Because my goal for the weeks we have left is to make Ella Harper happy every second of every day.
Chapter 30. Ella. On Friday night, Steve drives me over to the Royals, grumbling the entire time. In my day, the boy drove to the girl's house. He didn't drive to his best friend's house to pick up the girl. It was easier than Wade driving all the way to the city to get me, I answer with a shrug. That, and I really wanted to get a sneak peek of Reed in his tux, but I keep that to myself. As we roll through the royal gates, I can't help but think about what my life is like now versus when I first arrived. A few months ago, I was stripping at a seedy club called Daddy G's. Today, I'm sitting in some ridiculously expensive car, wearing a dress that Val told me must have cost more than 1 year of tuition at Astor Park, and shoes that have brand-name crystals glued all over them. Val pronounced the name of the crystal maker 3 times, and I still can't get the hang of it. I look like a real-life Cinderella, complete with the ball gown and glass slippers. I'm not sure if the fairy godmother in this situation is Callum or Steve, though. Steve maneuvers the sports car around the fountain in the courtyard. I throw open the door as soon as we pull up to the front steps, but the car is so darn low that it's hard for me to get out, what with the 100 layers of chiffon. Steve chuckles. Hold on, I'll come pull you out. He lifts me up and sets me on my 4-inch stilettos. What do you think? I ask, holding out my arms.
You look beautiful.